Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
One of the great honors of my life these days is that I get to meet men and women who are iconic. They have lived their lives in such a way that they just have a different kind of a stature with what they do, and getting to meet Pastor Ronnie and spend time with him absolutely falls in that category. I'm so honored to be with you all today. Psalmist says, a good reputation is better to be had than silver and gold. Amen. Pastor Ronnie, we appreciate you and love you. Thank you for having us. It's an honor. Let's pray. God, you know I can do these talks by myself. They sure are better when you do them. We turn this time over to you, Holy Spirit. You be in control. You rule. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my wife Sharon and I got married 36 years ago. And prior to getting married, we had 7 minutes of premarriage counseling. We did not talk about church or Jesus. It never came up when we were dating. God didn't come up when we were being engaged. No one talked about it. We just went and got married. We'd been dating a long time, and we should have talked about it, but we didn't talk about it. And after we get married, we moved to Nashville, where I'm from, and we started off our lives broke. How many of y'all started off broke? You remember, we ain't got money, honey, but we got love. Good thing, too, because we didn't have any money. We were eating off a card table and driving a 1902 Pinto. For you young people, that's a car, not a bean. And we've been married about 2 or 3 weeks, and my wife got up one Sunday morning and remembered that she was a Baptist. And she comes in and tells me, and I'm pretty much a hell-raising redneck hillbilly, and she says, we're going to church. It's Sunday. And I said, we aren't doing anything. It's Sunday, and my people drink beer and watch football on Sunday. Now, whatever your people do, you can do, but I'm going to be here drinking beer and watching football. So she got mad and, of course, got in the car and went to look for a church. And, of course, we're in Nashville, y'all. That's the buckle of the Bible Belt, right? There's more Baptists there than people. Didn't take her long to find her little tribe, and she plugged right in and found a good little Baptist church, and that she went there and went down front and told the appropriate people about her heathen husband, and the prayer began. And this scene pretty much repeated itself several weeks in a row up into the months, to where Sunday morning she'd get up, be mad, leave crying, come home all prayed up or whatever it was or something, I don't know. And me, I'm just like, this marital bliss thing ain't working out. So I got into one of these multi-level things, you know, these things where you're going to get rich. I was going to get me a yacht and a big house and a jet and whatever else you get when you're rich, right? I was going to be rich. And so one of my beer drinking buddies got me into that thing, and there's a lot of beer in this story, but anyway, he gets me into this thing, and me and him were dumber than a rock. I mean, two rednecks dumber than a rock. And here's how dumb we were, y'all. We would go to happy hour and then go make sales calls, and we're so dumb we couldn't figure out why we couldn't make sales. I mean, we were just dumb, 22, 23 years old, just crazy. So we decide we need to go to one of the big gatherings to get the information that we don't have, because apparently we're missing something. This isn't working the way it's supposed to be working. And so we drove from Nashville down to Birmingham, Alabama, a two-hour drive, went to the Alabama Theater, and in my mind, there were 10,000 people there. Have you ever gone back to your grade school and noticed it shrunk? Yeah, Alabama Theater shrunk. It only holds 800 people in reality. I was there the other day, and it's not that big. And so me and him are sitting up in the balcony where people like us are supposed to sit, and we had written down five things that if we could learn these five things about this business, then we would be successful. It would be our breakthrough. It would be the key that would unlock the door, and prosperity would come our way. So we were there all day long. These guys are up there telling how great they are and how great this is. And, you know, they get up, hold up their check. We're making $435,000 a minute or whatever it is, you know, they do. And I want to be like him. I want to be like him. But the one guy that was the closer at the end of the day, we knew who he was. We knew his story. We knew everything about him. We had studied him because we wanted to be him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he got up there, and it was as if he had our five questions as his outline. And he was a good communicator. And so he already had credibility with us, but by the time he did that, he completely owned us. Do you know what I'm saying? And he gets to the end of his talk, and he says, and there's one more thing. And I looked at my other buddy, Daryl, over here, Daryl and his other brother, Daryl, and, you know, and I said, I got my five. Did you be missing one? And he said, no, I'm not missing one. I got everything I need. He goes, one other thing. If you don't know God, you're going to struggle in business. Because when you know God, that means you know His Son. And if you know His Son, suddenly people become important to you. And people in business who people aren't important to them struggle in business because they see people as a transaction instead of a person. Business people who treat people well have a tendency to win. I looked at my buddy, I'm like, God? He said, God? I don't have any idea. So we go back to the Hampton Inn or whatever it is we were staying in, right? We go to the nightstand, and there's the Gideon Bible on the nightstand. So we get it out. Open it up. King James. Shakespeare and Jesus. No chance these two rednecks are figuring this out. No chance at all. But I did go home. I told my wife, I said, we're going to church. And she said, who are you and what have you done with my husband? And we started visiting churches, and we went to a couple churches. Y'all ever been to one of them churches where they're not having fun? Looked like they were weaned on a pickle. You know? I mean, if there was a God that made the Rocky Mountains and the Caribbean, I think he'd be fun. I'm just saying. I think it'd be something to be a little bit excited about, maybe, you know? And guy asleep in the choir. I know he might probably had the night shift, but he was asleep. Come on, not this choir, a different one. But you know what I'm saying? It's not this church. This church is lively and fun. You guys were great. Thank you. Thanks for all the work you put in for to be able to get up here and do this. It doesn't happen accidentally. Well done. So, I mean, but you know, it just finally we go in the back door of this little church, and we're sitting on the back, you know, because that's what you do when you're visiting, right? So you can escape. If it gets weird, you got to have an exit, right? And so we're sitting on the back row, and this woman up on stage starts raising her hand like she knew the answer to some question. And then another one raised their hand. Then somebody sitting near us raised their hand. And then everybody started raising their hands. And then they started swaying. I told Sharon, if they get snakes out, I'm out of here. We kept coming back to that little church. Something was in the air. We found out later it was called the Holy Spirit. There was something there. And it was old school church, you know, 400 people, a little small thing. And, you know, the old time, this is 100 years ago, 36 years ago, right? And so the old pastor would stand at the back and shake everybody's hand, you know, those deals when they leave. Some of you grew up that way. His wife was a, give you a big old hug. She's a big old squishy woman. She'd give you a big grandma hug. And just grace from her and strength from him spoke the gospel. And we met God there in that little church and got baptized there. And it began this great adventure that we've been on for almost now 40 years. Now I do everything backwards. You see, we started off broke and I met Jesus, and I started buying and selling real estate. I got out of that other thing pretty quick and went and started buying and selling real estate, and I did get rich, at least by a kid from Antioch, Tennessee standards. I ended up with about $4 million worth of real estate at 26 years old, a little over $1 million net worth, and $250,000 income in 1984. That's $20,000 a month. Now, I don't know what neighborhood you grew up in, but the neighborhood I grew up in, we called that rich. It was fun, too, y'all. You ever hear those people say, all those rich people are miserable? Uh-uh. Now, I'm not here to tell you money will make you happy. Money will not make you happy. It will make you more of what you already are. If you're mean and you get money, Lord, help the people around you. You're going to get meaner than a snake. You got a temper and you get money, woo, you really become a self-important. You're kind and generous and you get money, the generosity just flows. And we call you a philanthropist. It's a little different level of giving, you know what I'm saying? Makes you more of what you are. And some of the people around you become more of what they are. Crazy. You got crazy people around you? Had crazy people in your family? Every family's got crazy in it. Y'all know that, right? If you think there's not crazy in your family, it's you. Money won't make you happy. It'll just make you more of what you are. So be careful about what you are. So we just, you know, we were just blowing and going, man. We're having fun. I got a car. You got the car you always wanted. I always wanted a Jaguar. Because nobody in the neighborhood I grew up in could spell Jaguar. So I wanted a Jaguar. It was exotic in those days. I got me a Jaguar, man. Then 90 days, I was a Jaguar. We went to Hawaii, rednecks in Hawaii. Oh, man, that was fun. We got sharing some of those sparkly things, and they weren't big enough. We got her some more. Life was going pretty good, but I had done some stupid stuff. Nothing illegal, nothing immoral. I didn't steal from anybody. I didn't lie to anybody. I didn't embezzle anything. I was just dumb. How many of you ever done something stupid with money? How many of you didn't raise your hand to have a problem with lying? If you made mistakes with money, that makes you over 12. So our largest bank that we were dealing with got sold to another lender, and a guy in another city looked down and said, there's a kid 26 years old owes us millions of dollars. Let's limit this relationship, which is banker talk for ruin his life. And they called our notes. And we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. We were sued and foreclosed. And finally, with a brand new baby and a toddler and a marriage hanging on by a thread, we were bankrupt. Stuff will take your marriage. Number one cause of divorce, money fights, money stress, money problems. Sharon and I didn't get a divorce. We held on to each other, but the truth is it wasn't pretty. I mean, we held on to each other sometimes just to get a better grip. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She's from the hills of East Tennessee. Frying pan throwing, there's an Olympic event. I remember being so scared I couldn't breathe. The brand new baby, my wife doesn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I was standing in the shower with it so hot I could just barely stand there, and I would just stand there and cry. I was so scared. The good news is that I met God on the way up, but I got to know him on the way down. Been there? Yeah. We hit bottom. One of these TV anchors the other day said, you start with nothing, you became a millionaire, and then you lost everything, and then you became a millionaire. How did you bounce back? I said, dude, when you fall that far, you really don't bounce. It's more of a splat. And there I laid in my splat, and I had an I surrender all moment. I'm not talking about an altar call that goes on till lunch. I'm talking about, you're in charge. I can't do this. See, he became my Savior, and I got baptized. But through that process, he became the Lord of every part of my life. People say, how do you put up with all the critics and all the things you have come at you? I'm sorry. I don't care what people think. If you you want to get mad at me? Oh, so now I'm going to stop because you're mad. I don't think so, because you weren't the one that sent me on this trip. And you don't get the option of truncating the trip. This is how it works. We're going to do things this way. And to the extent something doesn't line up with this compass, we're not going to do it. My Heavenly Father's crazy about me. He's crazy about you. And He's got a plan for me, and it's not to harm me, but to bring me hope. Remember Jeremiah? And so I start studying, because I don't know how to do anything, y'all. The preacher's saying, you know when they threw Joseph in the hole? And I'm going, don't know Joseph, don't know the hole. I don't know any of this stuff. I got to learn it all from the ground up. So I don't know how to be married. I don't know how to be a daddy. I obviously don't know how to handle money. You are Lord. This is your letter to me. My Heavenly Father says, son, if you want to live well, do it this way. You want to die well, do it this way. So I'm looking in here. How do I be married? Submit yourselves one to another. Oh, crud. It means I got to dry dishes. My kids are looking through here going, Dad, what's this rod stuff? And I'm like, come here, baby, I'll show you. 2,500 scriptures on how to handle money and how to properly spiritually view possessions. 2,500? Proverbs alone, if you read it over and over and over again and begin to understand it, you'll have a master's degree in finance. Now, it doesn't line up with what your broke brother-in-law thinks is right, but your feeling is not an appeal to me. My appeal is truth. I don't really care how you feel. I'm sorry. That hurts your feelings. I want you to win. And I want you to align yourself with this. I want to align myself with this, and I will in my marriage. And I have. And my kids all made it alive. Go figure, you know? It's interesting. This will change your life if you let it. But change is an interesting thing because we're going along the wrong way, and we have, if we're doing something wrong, we got to stop. We have to change and turn and go this way. In Christianity, we call that repentance. We're going the wrong way, and the Holy Spirit says, "Woo-hoo, dummy," and you go, "Yes, sir." And He says, "That way." Oh, okay. You about run off a bridge over here. You know what I'm talking about? And He saved you just in time. Just grabbed you just in time. You ever been there? I'm going to turn. He gives us the moral dignity of the right to decide to change. If you don't like where you are, change. Interesting, isn't it? I met this buddy of mine who lost 175 pounds. I hadn't seen him in a long time. He was a big old boy. And I was like, dude, you lost a Backstreet Boy. What happened? 175 pounds. I said, what did you do? And he said, I ate less. Wow, that is so insightful. I should try that. But my addiction to chocolate chip cookies, oh my goodness gracious. Right? We know what to do, but we have to decide to change. I had a young guy working for me, and we've got about 757 people this week working on our team, approaching 800 very quickly, and he was doing the stuff he was doing wrong. I said, hey, don't do it that way. Do it this way. Yes, sir. I come back a week later, he's doing it wrong again. I said, no, do it this way. Don't do it that way. That's the wrong way. Do it this way. I come back a week later, he's doing it wrong again. I said, dude, we are going to set you free in Jesus' name. I mean, really, this is not a hard thing. Don't do it that way. This is there's a right way and a wrong way. I'm trying to teach you the right way to do your job. I sign your check. Why is this a hard formula? And do it this way. And he's like, I'm not like you. And I said, change. You don't have to be like me, but you got to do it the right way. Decide. Just decide to change. I'm just not going to do that anymore. I can just decide. You can just decide. Ready? Just decide. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to be a different kind of wife. I'm going to be a different kind of husband. Ready, set? I just decided. I'm going to be a different kind of teenager for my parents. Ready? Right? Go. Oh, we got to do that one again. Ready? Go. Takes two of those, right? I'm going to be a different kind of employee. I'm going to work while I'm at work. Ready? Change. Isn't that interesting? You see what happens? I'm going to be a different kind of leader. I'm actually going to care about the people on my team as if I was running a ministry, because leaders, you are running a ministry. Ready? Change. You can just decide. Isn't that neat? Problem is, we can decide to do stupid, can't we? Or we can decide to keep doing stupid and defend our stupid. I have the right to do stupid. Yes, you do. It is an inalienable right given to you by your Heavenly Father. How many of you have got enough kids that you've got a stupid one or two? I mean, really. I mean, think about your Heavenly Father. Really, don't, if they're sitting there, you don't raise your hand, right? But think about your Heavenly Father. He's got to be looking down with Gabriel going, that's going to hurt. Watch. Because he's already over there. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's standing there 5 years from now, and he knows exactly what your decisions are going to result in. How many of you have looked at your teenager and went, your college student, and said, I've already been there. You don't have to do this. It's going to leave a mark. This set of behaviors is not going to take you where you want to go. The 30-year-old you is not going to be happy with the 16-year-old you if you keep this up. I mean, you know that. We know that because we see things. We're loving parents. So there's five things you got to do with money. If you do these five things with money, 100% of the time, they work. But most of us don't do them, which means we need to change. 100% of the time. It's not because it's like a prosperity thing or something like that. It's more like if you plant corn, you'll get corn. You reap what you sow. If you save money, you'll have some. See, there's a heart. That was hard, wasn't it? That's an example, right? The first one is get on a budget. Jesus said, don't build a tower without first counting the cost, lest you get halfway up and you're unable to finish, and all who see you say, this man began to build and was unable to finish. You would never go. Some of you spend more time planning your vacation than you did your retirement. You picked out your 401k based on what the broke person sitting next to you said to do, and yet you spent 73 hours on VRBO picking out the right condo. Plan your life on purpose. That's what Jesus is saying. You're not going to accidentally win. No one wins the Super Bowl and they come up and go, how'd you do that? And they go, I don't know. I just got off the bus and we just won. I have no idea. That's never an interview after the Super Bowl. You win as an intentional reaction to your intentional decisions to change and adjust and course correct and get on a path that causes winning to occur. Winning is not an accidental thing. No one accidentally loses weight unless they have a medical condition. No one accidentally has a world-class marriage. It requires work. Everybody said amen. It's not an accident. The second one is get out of debt. The borrower is slave to the lender. Because when you don't have any payments, you have this thing known as money. Slave. You get out of school. I got out of school. I had a little bit of student loan debt. Had a little bit of MasterCard debt. Went and bought my wife a car that I wanted and we couldn't afford. I know we couldn't afford it because I borrowed the money. And then we go buy a house. Why? Because after you've been married 3 minutes, the first thing people tell you is buy a house, buy a house, buy a house, buy a house. Broke people shouldn't buy houses. It makes them broker. That's why they call them mortgage brokers. Save up, get yourself in condition before you buy the house. That way you can own it instead of it owning you. But no, we went and bought a house immediately after getting married. People come in our office look like this all the time. They're going, dude, can you get me out? I said, well, the borrower's slave to the lender. Your leg tired? Yep. It's going to hurt. Okay. We're going to have to amputate the Tahoe. Okay. Sell the car. Guy called me from Texas, and it's a car payment, his truck. He said, Dave, you're going to kill me. I said, I'm not going to kill you. You're in Texas. I'm in Tennessee. What are you talking about? My truck payment's $759. The average car payment's $507. Invested from age 30 to age 70 is $5.9 million. That's what your car payment's costing you. So I said to this guy, I said, how much is your house payment with a $759 truck payment? He said, I live in a double wide, $550. I said, your truck payment's $750, your house payment's $550. I'm like, dude, if your truck payment's bigger than your house payment, you might be a redneck. I mean, really, unbelievable. So Sharon and I, we read that scripture and we said we don't borrow money anymore. Because I got to thinking about it. The sophisticated people, the academic people all talk about how you can borrow money and there's good debt and there's bad debt, only I can't find it in scripture. Every time it's mentioned in scripture, it's not a sin, it's not a salvation issue, but it's a curse, you're a fool. You're a slave. So we got out the credit cards, we lit some candles and we had a plastic surgery party. We had a plastectomy. Discover freedom. American distress. Citibank. What's in your wallet? Money. You're weird. You're right. I don't have any payments. And when you don't have any payments, you know what you end up with? If you work, money. It's a fairly simple equation. You don't have any credit cards? I don't have any credit cards. Hadn't any credit cards in 36 years. That's my wallet. Green president's faces. Four pieces of plastic. Debit card on my business, debit card on my personal account, my driver's license, and my handgun carry permit. That's it. Said that in California the other day. I about got arrested. Good to be back in America. But, Here's one that you won't think is a money principle, but it is. Foster high-quality relationships. You become who you hang around with. You speak like them. You read the same books, go to the same movies. If you hang around with people that memorize scripture, you'll start memorizing scripture. If you hang around people who have a filthy mouth, you'll have a filthy mouth. If you hang around people who gossip, you'll be a gossip. You become who you hang around with. Now, I'm not saying you don't be nice to people who have things, do things you don't agree with. I'm nice to anybody as long as they're nice to me. I don't have any issue with that. I'm always going to help anybody. I don't care if you're some way crazy thing opposite of me or whatever. That's fine. I still help you. I just love people. I don't care. But I'm talking about my inner circle that affects me, my spiritual walk, my physical condition, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat my grandkids. By the way, grandbabies are awesome. Oh, man, I got five of them now. If I'd have known how great grandbabies are going to be, I'd have been nicer to their parents. You become who you hang around with. Your income will be within 10 to 15% of the average of your 10 closest friends over the next decade. Some of you are going, I need some new friends. Well, maybe. You don't have to not be nice to those, but how many of you have been? I've been out of high school 40 years. I don't run around with any of my old high school buddies. I'm not mad at them. I'm not snobbish. I'm not better than they are. I just don't think that way anymore. The guys I ran with and did stuff I shouldn't have been doing with, some of them are still doing all that stuff, and that's not who I am anymore. Now, I'm praying for them. I'll have lunch with them, and I'll lead them to Christ. I'll do any of that stuff. But I'm talking about your core group, who you run with, who's affecting you, who you tight with. You're going to become just like them. Your sentence structure, your dialect is even very similar. I was in New York City the other day. I noticed those people all have an accent. Number four, save money. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. Choice food and oil in the time that Solomon wrote that in the Proverbs were signs of wealth. You have money. Only the aristocrats had choice food. Poor people, we're thinking Mediterranean here, it's hummus and chips, right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. Very basic peasant-type diet. Choice food's a sign of wealth. Choice food and oil are what wise people have. And if you read the rest of that proverb, it says, and a foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, by definition, biblically, you're a fool. Don't get mad at me. I've been a fool. Big red arrow, Dave Fool. But I decided to change. You can just decide. I'm going to be on a plan. I'm going to save money. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to hang out with people who are generous and on a plan and saving money and getting out of debt and who are becoming better people in their spiritual walk and the way they treat their spouses. I can just decide all of that starting today. Ready, set, go. And for some people, that'll be a dramatic change. For some, it'll just be a slight course correction. But either way, there's change needed. It changes everything when you change. But when you do those, you do the budget and you get out of debt, you hang out with people that are being smart, and you start saving money, then you put yourself in a position to have the most fun with money you'll ever have, and that's to be incredibly generous. Outrageously generous. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not talking about the tithe. That's just a baseline. That's where we start. I'm talking about the way you think is generous. The way you tip is generous. The way you act with money is generous. The way you... Generous people are the ones that open the door for you because they're not self-absorbed. Generous people are the ones who help you pick up the groceries when they fall out and rolling all over the parking lot. Generous people are giving, not self-centered. In order to get there, you got to get self straightened out. Because when you're broke, you can't pay your light bill. It's really hard to think about the tip when the service was slow. But the tip maybe says something more about you than it does. And on Sunday, tip. Servers hate to work Sundays because Christians are cheapskates. And then you wonder why they don't want to know our Jesus. Tip. Be generous. Be outrageously generous with the way you live your life. Well, the service wasn't good. Well, don't go there again, but tip. You ever carried one of them trays? That little 100-pound girl's carrying a 100-pound tray. Shut up and tip. It's the way you live. It says something about you. It says something about your faith. It just starts with that. Tipping is just a minor thing. But the way you roll up beside some girl and you're talking to her at the gas pumps and she's got three kids. You find out she's a single mom and the tires on her car are bare. Roll her across the road, the discount tire, put four tires on her car. Tip. You change your life. And you look up next Sunday, she'll be sitting in here too. You'll change her eternity because you get the opportunity to introduce her to somebody. We'll close up with this. Here's your assignment for Thanksgiving morning. We'll just call it that. Let's call it Thanksgiving. It's coming up. When you get ready to go to Grandma's house to have this choice food, this feast, load the family in a car. Leave 30 minutes early. On the way to Grandma's house, I want you to pull up in front of Waffle House, right in front of the window so you can look out the car and see everything that's going on in the Waffle House. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Get out, leave the family in the car. Go sit, table, counter, doesn't matter to me, whichever one you want to do. Have just a cup of coffee's on. And when you get ready to leave, I want you to leave four of these Uncle Benjamin Franklins under the cup. Because you know who's working at Waffle House. She's there because she needs a job bad. And we know she needs it bad because she's working Thanksgiving morning. Leave them under the cup and go to the car. Say, hey, kids, watch God show off. Here's what'll happen. I've seen her do it. She'll walk up and go. And then immediately she looks both ways because it must be a trick. Because for her, it's been a long time since anything good has happened. It must be a trick. And then you know what she does next? And even if she hadn't prayed in a while, even if she doesn't know God, she recognizes when he intersects her life. She feels that whisper in her ear, runs down into her heart. And here's what she'll do next. That may have been the first prayer she said in 10 years. Or it may be the answer to a prayer she said this morning. I don't know. Not my job to figure that out. My job is to be a blessing. Because I've been blessed. I'm better than I deserve. And you know what she'll do next? You ever seen a human do a Snoopy dance? Now, you can go out to dinner, some of your friends, and buy dinner, spend $400, and I think you should. If you're not broken, don't put it on a credit card. I think you ought to do that. It'll be fun. But I defy you to have Waffle House kind of fun with that $400. That's about as fun as it gets right there. Nothing else is going to change your day like that changes it. Whoa, that's fun. I don't care who you are. You ain't got a heart in your chest if you don't think that's fun. Listen, I know you. I've talked to you for 30 years. I have 15 million of you listening on the radio. 5 million of you have been through Financial Peace University. I know you. You're good people. You're good people. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You've got a decision to make, some of you. It might be time for a change.